ESPN, you know, big behemoth ESPN, it debuted 40 years ago this September. And if you had tuned in on that first day, you would have been greeted by this.
Beyond that blue horizon is a limitless world of sports. And right now, you're standing on the edge of tomorrow. Sports, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with ESPN.
But, you know, not every sports fan got to experience this limitless world of sports right away. Some people had to wait for cable to be installed in their neighborhoods. Cable! Can you imagine it, kids, with your Bluetooth and your headsets and your iPads? Boston sports writer Lee Montville, a true legend, he had to wait more than a year and a half to get his first taste of ESPN. And when he did, he turned the experience into a column for the Boston Globe. In honor of ESPN's 40th anniversary, we decided to give Lee's column a double play. That's what we call it when we turn a great piece of writing into a radio drama.
Leroy Witherspoon now.
A guy named Leroy Witherspoon came dribbling across my eyes at 3 in the afternoon. The clock was ticking down. The crowd was going wild. I was going wild. 5, 4, 3. Leroy let it go.
Witherspoon with 3 seconds left.
2, 1. The ball went through the hoop. A definite swish. A 30-footer. Did you see that? I asked. Silent. Did you see it? I demanded. I was alone. I was sick. I was screaming about something that had happened almost 2 days earlier. I was screaming about the fact that Potsdam State had tied Augustana College to send the Division III NCAA basketball final into overtime. I don't know where Augustana is located. I'm a little hazy about Potsdam. I knew none of the players involved. I did know that Potsdam won in overtime. I knew that tape-delayed fact already, having read it 2 days earlier on the scores pages of a newspaper. I still was screaming. Never in my worst sports junkie moments, not even on a spectacular fall afternoon, the family out in the leaves, me in the living room with a football game involving the nondescript Kansas City Chiefs or the St. Louis Cardinals or the Detroit Lions, had I felt this bad. This was Florida. People in Boston would kill to be 20 feet outside my motel room door, sitting at the pool on a workday Wednesday afternoon with a pina colada and a smile in the 80-degree sunshine. I was watching Leroy and Potsdam on my glow-in-the-dark little television, located 2 feet from the fly swatter in the Gideon Bible. Help me, Father, for I have sinned. I was hooked on ESPN. I had never seen it before, you know. I had heard rumors.
They have it in Malden.
My brother has it in Springfield.
24 hours of televised sports every day of the week.
I always had said I'd wanted it. I demanded it. Bring me the cable. Bring it and bring it now. I was outraged that my area of the United States was so tardy in receiving this greatest technological breakthrough in the history of mankind. I found now that I couldn't stand it. Or worse yet, that I couldn't handle it. ESPN, which went on the air in September of 1979, just pumps those sports at you. Sports you never knew existed. Sports you never cared existed. Ask me if I would walk across the street to watch Potsdam play Augustana, and I would laugh. Ask me if I didn't have to walk anywhere, just turn the knob. I watched track from New Zealand, auto racing from Bristol, Tennessee, Division II, or was it Division III, swim championships from some steamy pool, a taped tennis match from Rotterdam that I saw 3 separate times, Jimmy Connors against Sandy Mayer. It was just so easy. Get up in the morning and turn on the set. A fight is on. Freddie Roach of Dedham, no less. Sit and watch. Go somewhere, do something, return to the room to shave, turn on the set again. Gymnastics. Prepare to go to bed. No, turn on the set. Just to check. Sports Center. Every score of every game ever played. Followed by soccer from England.
Yes!
Crystal Palace against Tottenham Hotspurs. By God, that's old Mike Flanagan of the T-Men out there. Fall asleep as the action fades to more New Zealand track.
From a very fine run by this artist.
I began to feel as if I were on a diet of honey-dip glazed donuts. Excuse me. I began to feel physically ill. If too much is not good for you, as Mother always said, this definitely was too much. The set controls you. There is no time nor inclination to watch the rest of television anymore, not even the news. There is no inclination to read books, newspapers, anything. Turn the knob, watch the games. No need to talk. I called ESPN yesterday to see what I would be missing today, because my week in that motel room has ended. I will be missing midnight, Martin Luther King games, decathlon 1, 1 a.m., auto racing 1980, a look back, a look ahead, 2:30 a.m., SportsCenter, 3 a.m., top-ranked boxing from Philadelphia, 5:30 a.m., NCAA volleyball Golden Dome Classic semifinal, 7 a.m., SportsCenter, 8 a.m., professional rodeo from Mesquite, Texas, 10 a.m., SportsCenter, 11 a.m., NCAA Gymnastics Division II. That's just half the day, with shows like Arizona State Baseball and Superstar Volleyball Cup and the Virginia 500 to follow in the afternoon and night. How many homes are you in now? I asked the ESPN man.
8.9 million,
he replied.
We project we'll be in 30 to 35 million by the middle of the 80s.
In the long-distance future, do you expect you'll be in every home before 1990 as cable moves down every street in America?
We would think so.
My palms sweat at the thought. I have seen the future, and it is Leroy Witherspoon on a sunny Wednesday afternoon.
That's our double play of The Tube That Won't Let You Up by Lee Montville. The column was first published in the Boston Globe in April of 1981, and we rediscovered it recently in John Shulian's new anthology of classic sports columns called The Great American Sports Page. Thanks to our actors, Gordon Ellis, Kelvin Brooks, Sarah Rose Brenner, Matt Lissette, and the inimitable Dave Faniff.